The Woodlands Project, Part 3, How the Woodlands Project Was Done. The Woodlands Project Plan and Tasks. In order to complete the job of providing support, information, and advice to the Woodlands Project clients, the project team identified three important tasks to be done. 1. Identification of project clients. Reading the need-to-know records and finding the names of former residents. 2. Outreach and assistance to project clients. This section has 7 points designated A through F. A. Writing letters to these former residents and other former residents who were referred to the project team and speaking with them about their experiences at Woodlands if the former resident agreed. B. Advising former residents and family members about their right to look at their file information and, when requested, help them to get their records through Freedom of Information requests. C. Responding to telephone calls from former residents, family members, and others regarding information about Woodlands, about how to get support, how to access their files, and other information. D. Developing and sharing information sheets about Woodlands and the Woodlands Project. E. Giving presentations at community meetings to explain to former residents and family members what the Woodlands Project was doing. F. Meeting with other people and groups interested in Woodlands. 3. Research and analysis of the information obtained. This section has 2 parts. A. Reading and analyzing all of the information the team collected and putting information into a database. B. Doing other research about Woodlands and about the effect of institutions on the people who live in them. Details about each part of the project plan. This section of the report talks about what was done for each part of the project. 1. Identification of project clients. Reading the files that came from MCFD and finding the names of the former residents. The Woodlands Project had a special agreement with MCFD called a Memorandum of Understanding. This agreement gave MCFD the legal right to give the PGT the need-to-know records relating to former residents. MCFD gave the Woodlands Project a severed version of the need-to-know record. Any information about any other person except the former resident was blocked out. Sometimes other information, such as ward numbers, was also blocked out. MCFD also gave the Woodlands Project a list of the names of former residents that were named in the need-to-know records. The Woodlands Project team members read the need-to-know records and found some additional names of former residents. Some of the names were only first names or only last names. Some of the names were different from the name the former resident uses now. Some of the names were for people who are no longer alive. The Woodlands Project tried to find out the current full names of all the former residents named in the need-to-know records. By the end of the Woodlands Project, the project team had identified 214 names from the need-to-know records. 41 other adults were identified in the list from the MCFD or had asked the Woodlands Project for help. There were some people where there was not enough information to find out their full name or what had become of them. These names were sent to MCFD to see if there was any more information. At the end of the Woodlands Project, there were 24 former residents who couldn't be identified by the Woodlands Project team. MCFD was able to identify some of these former residents, but did not provide these names to the PGT. Other former residents could not be identified by MCFD. There were also 88 former residents who were known to be deceased. When the Woodlands Project had the full names of the former residents who were still alive, they began the outreach part of the Woodlands Project. 2. Outreach and assistance to clients. This section is divided into 7 parts, designated A through F. A. Writing letters to these former residents and speaking with them about their experiences at Woodlands if the former resident agreed. One of the most important tasks of the Woodlands Project was to contact former residents whose names came up in the review of the need-to-know record. The purpose was to support people and to advise them about what they can do. They all received a letter that told them about the need-to-know report and let them know that they would be contacted by someone from the Woodlands Project. This task was completed by the regional consultant and the case manager. After the letters were sent, project team members contacted each former resident and or someone providing support to the former resident. In total, 166 letters were sent out. The case manager interviewed all former residents named in the MCFD records who were PGT clients. When someone is a client of the PGT has the legal authority to make financial and legal decisions for that person. The PGT meets with clients to find out what they would like to see happen. The regional consultant made contact with over 100 other former residents who are not PGT clients. She tried to find out if these former residents are able to make their own decisions about their options or if they need support with this. Sometimes the communication was directly with the former resident. Other times, a support person was also involved. Support people included parents, brothers or sisters, social workers, staff, advocates, or others. The former residents were given information about their options so they could make their own decisions about what to do and about whom, if anyone, they want to help them with these decisions. The project team informed the former residents or their legal representatives of the steps that they can take in order to obtain their Woodlands records from the MCFD and about how to get assistance from the Office of the Advocate for Service Quality, the police, and other important agencies. Section 2B, advising former residents and family members about their right to access their file information and, when requested, assisting them to get their records through Freedom of Information requests. Because there was sometimes not very much information in the need-to-know records, it was necessary to find more information for some former residents. When a former resident was interviewed, the Woodlands Project asked if they would like to help getting more information. The Woodlands Project team helped people get more information in three ways. First, giving the adult information on how to make a Freedom of Information request to get the adult's personal Woodland files. Second, making an FOI request for the adult if the adult agreed. Third, making an FOI request for the adult if the family members asked the Woodlands Project team for help and the adult was not capable. If the former resident was a PGT client, the project team already had authority to make an FOI request. In total, the Woodlands Project team made 85 requests under the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act to obtain client files for adults who requested their help. The project team received over 100,000 pages of information. The Woodlands Project team needed to create a way to keep track of all the information. The Woodlands Project used a computer program to keep track of the information. Section 2C. Responding to telephone calls from former residents, family members, and others regarding information about Woodlands and the Woodlands Project. A number of former residents and family members telephoned the project team to get information or assistance about Woodlands and the Woodlands Project. A toll-free line was set up to ensure that callers from across the province had access to the team. Section 2D. Developing and sharing information sheets about Woodlands and the Woodlands Project, including information for former residents and family members. The Woodlands Project information sheets were developed to help answer the most common questions that staff were being asked. They described how former residents and family members can get information about Woodlands, the Woodlands Project, and important contacts for getting help and further information. Information about contact people and ways to contact them, telephone numbers, email addresses, and websites were included. The information sheets can be found at the end of the printed version of this report. Section 2E, giving presentations at community meetings to explain to former residents and family members what the Woodlands Project was doing. After the Need to Know report came out, MCFD asked two community organizations to hold meetings. One set of meetings was for former residents, and the other set was for family members. Meetings for former residents were organized by the BC Self-Advocacy Foundation, while meetings for family members were organized by the Woodlands Parents Action Group. These meetings were held in communities around the province. The meetings included a review of the Need to Know report and ways to get further information, services, and support. Most importantly, former residents and families were asked to respond to the report's recommendations and to say what they think should happen next. The PGT regional consultant attended all of the meetings organized by the BC Self-Advocacy Foundation to tell people about the Woodlands Project and to let people know that they could ask the Woodlands Project for help. People were also given copies of the Woodlands Project information sheets. Section 2F. The Woodlands Project team met with and listened to other people and groups interested in Woodlands. Some of these groups are doing public advocacy, and some of them are providing information and support to former residents of Woodlands. It was important for the project team to share information and expertise with other groups. The groups that the Woodlands Project made contact with include British Columbia Association for Community Living, BC Self-Advocacy Foundation, Advocate for Service Quality, New Westminster Police Department, MCFD Community Living Services, We Survived Woodlands Group of former Woodlands residents. As Dr. Richard G. Folks stated in his 1974 report, Health Security for All British Columbians, one thing comes clear, and that is that eventually the asylum or large mental hospital, like the Pest House, will exist only in textbooks concerned with the past, and a significant social revolution will have taken place. One thing comes clear. Section 3, Research and Analysis. A. Reading and analyzing the information that the team collected. Some former residents asked the Woodlands Project for help to make an FOI request for their personal files. The files that the Woodlands Project team got from MCFD after an FOI request were only the personal files of the adult who lived at Woodlands. These were not the same as the files that Ms. McCallum looked at for the Need to Know report. In the personal files that the Woodlands Project team looked at, there were no staff disciplinary records, very few abuse investigation reports, and very few incident reports. The records were severed to leave out the names of staff or other residents. This often meant that the portions of the personal files provided to the Woodlands Project team did not identify who was responsible for the abuse that was reported in the Need to Know. The Woodlands Project team members read the personal files and the Need to Know records and entered information from them into a database. The database made it easier to organize and summarize information about incidents and issues documented in the files. This helped the project team to quickly look up all of the important information that had been collected about specific people, wards, issues, and events. It was helpful to use the database because 1. A lot of people lived at Woodlands. 2. Woodlands existed for a long time. 3. There are many documents that have information about people's lives at Woodlands. 4. Some people can't tell their own stories. The database keeps track of things that may have caused harm to people, like things that happened to individual people, such as use of medication, incident reports, etc., and issues that are frequently mentioned in the documents, such as overcrowding, over-medication, altercations between residents, etc. The database and all of the files that were received by the Woodlands Project are private and cannot be read or seen by any other person without the former resident's permission or that of their legal representative or a court order. They are protected by the Freedom of Information and Protection Privacy Act and by solicitor-client privilege. Section 3B. Doing other research about Woodlands and about the effect of institutions on the people who live in them. The Woodlands Project team wanted and needed to know more about Woodlands as an institution. The team collected information about Woodlands from newspapers, libraries, and BC archives. This information helped the Woodlands Project to understand better how Woodlands was run and how to assist former residents. The Woodlands Project team also collected information about institutions for people with intellectual disabilities in British Columbia. In the past, there were other reports about institutions in British Columbia that talked about Woodlands. Some of these reports are listed in Appendix B of the written version of this report. It was also important to do research on the effects of abuse on adults with intellectual disabilities. This research helped the project team to understand some of the longer-term effects of the harm that happened at Woodlands, and it helped the Woodlands Project team to give better information and support to the former residence.